The Bible tells us that every one of the disciples left when things got really scary. Every one of the disciples left when Jesus was being tortured and when it was time for his death. John returned. We know that because Jesus speaks to John from the cross. But they all had run in fear, and now they're gathered together in this little room. We can't verify it, but it is very likely the same little room that they were in not that long ago, sharing the last meal that they would have with Jesus. They're gathered together in that little room, fearful. Imagine every new sound brings a new panic. What was that? Did you hear something? Are they coming? They knew that they were next. Didn't know what to do or where to go. They hid. And imagine in your own imagination, just imagine they hear a gate rattle. Somebody's coming. They very carefully look through a window and they see Mary at the gate. She comes through the gate and she comes to the door and she says, "He's alive. I have seen him." Some of the guys, you know, they say, "Oh, silly woman. She's so emotional. Seeing things that she wants to be real, although we know better." Some of the guys in awe. Could it be? Most of them just in confusion because they had not yet understood the things that Jesus told them. He told them he was coming back, but they didn't understand it that way. Peter and John take off. They go to see for themselves, and sure enough, when they get to the tomb, it is empty. That sight of that empty tomb changed their lives. They rush back to tell the others, knowing that they'll never be the same. And when they get back to tell the others, before long, Jesus appears in their midst. "Peace, guys. It's all right." They had not experienced a moment of peace since they left that upper room right after dinner when they had Passover together. Not a moment's peace since then. There was fear, there was sadness, there was pain, there was agony, there was confusion, but no peace. Until Jesus steps into the picture. Peace. Who could do that? Who could bring peace after all they'd been through? Nobody. But Jesus. If you've got your Bible with you, I want to invite you to look with me in Romans chapter 1 because I want to show you something that we might otherwise look over too easily. I want to show you what Paul said as he talked about Jesus and what happened on Easter. In the book of Romans, we're at the very beginning, chapter 1, verse 1. And Paul is ready to introduce himself to the Romans. He's introducing himself to the people that he's writing to. They did it backwards back then when they wrote letters. We'll say, "Dear John." Yes, every letter I've ever gotten was a "Dear John" letter. We say, "Dear John, here's the body or the point of the note," and then at the bottom, "Sincerely, so and so." Well, they did it backwards. Actually, I guess they kind of made a little bit more sense. The way we do it, you got to read down and fall, jump down to the bottom to see who's writing to you, so the whole thing makes sense. They figured it makes a whole lot more sense to do that at the beginning, So instead of saying sincerely yours at the bottom, they started by saying, hey, this is Paul. And I want to tell you something. And look how he introduces himself when he starts this letter. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. That's who he is. He's a bondservant of Jesus. He is called as an apostle, and he has been set apart for the gospel of God. Now, he starts chasing rabbits. He's real good at that. Paul is a rabbit chaser from way back. And as soon as he says something that clicks for him, he goes with it. And so what has just happened is he has said the word gospel. And when he said the word gospel, he had to follow that idea all the way through. So here he is in verse 2. The gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. What is the gospel, by the way? What does that word mean, gospel? Come on, what does it mean? Good news. That's right. So Paul says, I have been set apart to tell the good news of God. That means the story of Jesus. All right? The story of Jesus, which he promised beforehand through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures, verse 3, concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, and verse 4, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says, I got to tell you something about me, but before you can understand who I am, you have to understand who my Lord is. He says, I got to tell you the story, the good story, the good news, the gospel, and it's about Jesus. And then he says, Jesus was promised. You see that in verse 2? Jesus was promised, which God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And if you look back in the prophecies of Jesus who is to come, of the Messiah who will come someday, you look back and you learn what the prophets are saying and how they're pointing to Jesus, what you find out is the prophets prophesied or they told beforehand every major aspect of his birth, his death, and his resurrection. Before Jesus ever showed up, the prophets told us how he was going to be born, what he was going to do when he got here, how he was going to die, and how he was going to come back to life. The gospel was prophesied. Jesus was promised. But not only was he promised, he also was born. You see that very next verse, verse 3. Concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. Now it's important that he put that in there because he wants us to understand that Jesus was 100% human. 100% human. He was born. He didn't just appear. He didn't just show up one day. He was born. He was born of a descendant of David, which, by the way, the prophets said he would be. He was born of a descendant of David. In other words, he has a lineage that you can track. That's how we know he was 100% human. You can go back and see his family heritage. He was born. He was born a descendant of David according to the flesh. Paul put that in there because he wants us to understand he was born according to the flesh. He had bones, he had skin, he had muscle, he had a brain, he had a heart, he had a liver. He cried, he got hungry, he got thirsty. He was human. And when you take a human and you beat him and you torture him and you put him on a cross, that human is going to die. Understand, you cannot fully comprehend Easter until you fully comprehend that Jesus was human and he died completely dead. They killed him. He could be killed because he was human. But now, not only was he promised, not only was he born, but he was declared Son of God. How did that happen? Look at the next verse, verse 4. Who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus came and he said, I'm Messiah. He said, I'm the Son. He talked to the Father. The Father even pointed out, this is my Son. But all of that could have been misunderstanding. All of that could have been Jesus. Maybe Jesus wasn't thinking straight. Maybe he was lying. All of that could have not been real, except everything turned out exactly like he said it would, verifying that he was not crazy, that he was not lying, that he really was who he said he was. He was the Son of God. You see, when Jesus came back to life, that put the stamp of approval. That was the proof beyond the reasonable doubt. That was a proof beyond any doubt. That was the total and complete evidence necessary to demonstrate that he was who he said he was. He was indeed the Son of God. So we just learned that he was born a descendant of David, fully human. But also, at the very same time, he was completely the Son of God. You see in verse 4 again, declared the Son of God with the power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. He was a descendant of David according to the flesh. He was the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness. He was 100% completely divine. Now you say, preacher, how can he be 100% human and 100% divine? And I'm going to tell you, I don't have a clue. I don't know. Except he's God and I'm not. And if I understood everything he understood, we'd both be God and then we'd all be in trouble. He was completely human, born a descendant of David. He was completely God, Son of God. He said he was, and he proved it when he came back to life out of that grave. He was completely God. He had an amazing life, if you think about those two things. Birth proved he was human. Resurrection proved he was holy. Those two things together, they bookmark, they bracket his life. Peter Larson said that Jesus, the life of Jesus, was bracketed by two impossibilities: a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. Now that'll just almost preach. A virgin's womb to an empty tomb. That, who else could do that? Nobody but Jesus. He was the Son of Man. That was his favorite title for himself. And he was the Son of God. How does that work? Who could do that? Nobody but Jesus. The resurrection proved that he was who he said he was. Had he not returned from the grave, we would not be able to trust what he said. Since he did return from the grave, we can trust everything he said and did. Who could say the things he said and do the things he did? Nobody but Jesus. We conclude today one series as we begin another one. We conclude the series that it was called The 40 Days with Jesus. And each week we met a different person who had interacted with Jesus there in the last few days of his life. This morning they're all going to share quickly together. We're going to hear a quick testimony from all of them as they talk to us about who Jesus was and how he is the only one who could do what he did and say what he said. Nobody but Jesus.
What kind of man welcomes the company of the hurting, helpless, and the hopeless?
What kind of a man can heal the pain with a single soft touch?
What kind of a man multiplies hope and freedom as easily as he does fish and bread?
Who else can turn our dusty old religion into a brand new relationship?
What kind of man would claim to be God in the flesh, but then allow that same flesh to be torn apart?
What kind of a man would embrace betrayal?
Insults.
Torture.
Mockery.
And death.
And yet, live to tell about it.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody.
Who could speak with such authoritative words and yet drench them with compassion?
Who could be strong enough to still the storms, yet be so meek and humble?
Who could allow the hands that created the universe to also be nailed into a wooden cross?
Who could choose patience despite deserving immediate and complete obedience?
Who could be blameless and without fault, and still endure the judgment others deserve?
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody but Jesus.
Nobody. Who will love us like him? Who will be with us when all others have left?
Who comforts us in suffering? Who is our peace in the midst of anxiety?
Who reassures me when my mind is drowning in doubt?
Who accepts me as I am, with no strings attached?
Who else would die for me while I was sinking in sin?
Who else can turn the grave into Easter morning?
Nobody.
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 Nobody but Jesus.
Who could speak the worlds into existence and then enter into his own creation? Nobody but Jesus. Who could take water and make it wine? Nobody but Jesus. Who could speak to the wind and calm the storm? Nobody but Jesus. Who could make the lame walk, the deaf hear, and the dumb speak? Nobody but Jesus. Who could heal the untouchable with a single touch? Nobody but Jesus. Who could take a bunch of fishermen and turn them into fishers of men? Nobody but Jesus. Who could explain the mysteries of God so simply that people could understand them? Nobody but Jesus. Who could turn a little boy's lunch into a feast for a multitude? Nobody but Jesus. Who could tell a woman her past and a disciple his future? Nobody but Jesus. Who could be light in a dark world and be life in the midst of death? Nobody but Jesus. Who could write in the sand and save a woman's life? Nobody but Jesus. Who could heal a sick child from long distance and raise a dead man back to life? Nobody but Jesus. Who could master the universe, yet wash the feet of those who should serve him? Nobody but Jesus. Who could be hated by so many, and yet love his enemies so completely? Nobody but Jesus. Who could be completely innocent, but die on behalf of the totally guilty? Nobody but Jesus. Who could suffer for hours in agony and ask God to forgive his tormentors? Nobody but Jesus. Who could come as the Son of God to die as the Lamb of God to establish the kingdom of God all for the glory of God? Nobody but Jesus. Who could die a real death, lay in a real tomb, and come back to real life? Nobody but Jesus. Who could defeat death? Who could win victory over the grave and triumph over Satan? Nobody but Jesus. Who has power to bring abundant life and eternal life to all who believe? Nobody but Jesus. Now, friend, it's just you and me. The record crowd that's in attendance today, they're not here. It's just you and me. All right? Just between you and me. Who could really forgive all those stupid, evil, goofy, dumb things that you've done? Nobody. But Jesus. Who can take that past that you messed up and change it and give you a new life? Nobody but Jesus. Who can you turn to today to find new life, to be forgiven? Who can you turn to today to find peace? Nobody but Jesus. Have you trusted Him? Jesus stepped down off the throne of glory. He put on humanity. He became a little boy. He grew up and ministered to people. He died on the cross. They put Him in a grave and He came back to life. After He came back to life, He went back to the throne of glory where He intercedes for His own. Are you a part of that story? Nobody can do it but Him. The amazing thing is He's already done it. Have you accepted the free gift of eternal life? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for sending Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for coming back to life. Thank You for beating sin, death, hell, Satan. Thank You for bringing life and peace. Lord, I pray that You'd help each one of us to make sure that we have experienced that free gift of eternal life by accepting You, trusting in You, depending on You. Lord, help each one of us to make sure we're right with You before this day ends, before this hour ends. That we can, for the first time in our lives, really experience Easter. I pray that You'd help us, Lord, to make sure that we're right with You and right with those around us. In Jesus' name.